Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, everyone. I'm Richard Doherty, CEO and founder of Scale Up Consulting and author of Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. And I truly believe that in order to scale up yourselves, you need to consistently look out for new opportunities. So super excited today to welcome Aragon into the show. Aragon is the CMO of Your Open Metaverse. We're going to be chatting about the metaverse today. Outside of that, he's also a keynote speaker, public speaker, and has run several businesses and been involved in several businesses through the years. So super excited to jump into this today, Aragon. Welcome.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here, Richard. Thank you so much.
Cool. As always, folks, I'd like to give you a bit of a bird's eye view as to what we're going to be talking about before we get into the show. So, you know, as I mentioned, it's the metaverse. And I think right now, there's no escaping that this is the buzzword, right? So this is what everyone wants to know about. And maybe showing my age, maybe not so much because, you know, 80s, 90s, it feels a lot like when we're in the 80s and 90s, people were talking about the internet. And going back there, you know, the internet was all about building a new form of communication, and speculation was sparked off around the world. What would this look like? What would it feel like? How would people use it? And in all honesty, let's put our hands up, and people were, we didn't really know, right? We had to figure it out.
No clue.
Exactly, as we moved along. And, you know, right now, this is happening with the metaverse. Everyone is talking about it, but actually few people know exactly what it's about. And I think as the metaverse is pegged to become a $800 billion market by 2024, I think it's actually time for all of us to dip our toes in, and it's much more than that, jump in and take a look at what this is and unblock some of the terminology around it. And, you know, no better person to chat about this with me today than my friend in Amsterdam, Aragon, and welcome to the show. And let's jump into it. Let's bring you into the show. And I think the best thing to start off with is the simplest thing. And for our audience, it will be good to understand your definition of actually what is the metaverse? And on top of that, how does it differ from the internet?
Yes, Richard. Well, that's a big question, right? And it's interesting because I talk about this almost every day at the moment, and yet it seems like every single time I speak about it, there's confusion. And a lot of that has to do with the fact, of course, that, you know, this whole metaverse thing was really kicked off by our big friend Mark Zuckerberg back in 2021 when he announced the renaming of Facebook to Meta, which, by the way, I'm very grateful for. Before that time, we were actually struggling to find funding for what we're trying to do. And the day that he announced that he was renaming Facebook to Meta, our phone started ringing and didn't stop. We're literally still, even right now, even we've moved into a bear market for those that are into crypto, we're still being swamped in requests to be allowed to invest in what we're doing. So I'm very grateful for that. And yet, there's so much confusion about what's going on. People are throwing money at each other. Mark Zuckerberg's getting a lot of flack from his investors from the decision he made. And yet what the metaverse really is still sometimes a little bit of a mystery. So I'm going to make it as simple as possible. There's two things to consider, in my opinion. And that's one, the technologies that are part of what the metaverse will be, or what will be the metaverse, I should say. And let me get one thing straight. I do not believe that there is a metaverse right now. There's no metaverse, right? And anybody who claims that they have a metaverse or they build a metaverse, in my opinion, that's just nonsense, because they're not meeting the requirements yet. And the requirements have to do with the technology. So one, there's a lot of technologies, blockchain, artificial intelligence, virtual reality, 5G, for example, for wireless data transmission, human-machine interfacing. I mean, I'm wearing a Whoop right now, for example, that measures my heart rate at 100 times per second. All of that technology all comes into what will be the metaverse. But just because it is one of these technologies doesn't mean that it is metaverse, right? So virtual reality on itself is not metaverse. A virtual reality experience on itself is not metaverse. A single game or company or in a platform like Decentraland or Sandbox, that is not metaverse. Because what metaverse is the result of all these technologies coming together and then meeting certain requirements, like being interoperable. Interoperable means that, just like in today's world, if you want to come to Amsterdam, you can get on a plane, you can take your passport, you can make it pretty easily through customs, and you can just experience life here. You know, it's basically frictionless. If you're in the European Union, it's even easier, right? Because I can just go across the border, don't need to identify myself, don't even need to get different money. That's what interoperability really means. And you need to have that in a virtual world or in a digital world. The past social media and the internet up until this point, you go to Facebook, you need to log in on Facebook, identify yourself, you know, you need to send them your cookies, give them your data. If you want to go somewhere else, you need to do the same thing. You can share your Facebook pictures on Google Plus, by the way, it doesn't exist anymore, but you can share your Facebook pictures on LinkedIn, right? You can share your Instagram pictures on LinkedIn. You can, well, sometimes you can, but then you have to log in, prove your other account to link into it through an API, which is a very complicated process. And even though they've made many strides to make it easier, it is a complicated process. And so for the metaverse, interoperability is essential. Then there's interconnectivity. All these worlds need to be connected together, these experiences. It needs to be peer-to-peer, and it needs to be decentralized. At least that's the opinion of the general metaverse industry out there. Of course, Mark Zuckerberg, Microsoft, and whatever they're building, the big tech are building in terms of metaverse, is not necessarily decentralized. And the problem with not being decentralized is, one, that it ultimately always leads to us, the users, not being in control of our data, or even you as a company. If you're an artist, you want to do something on a platform, if it's not set up in a decentralized way, using, in this case, for example, blockchain, many times you still need to pay third parties to provide you with services, to get access, all of that stuff. And so going into the metaverse, that can really change. That's the technology side of it. Won't go into that much longer because it's already a long explanation, but I want to make sure that everybody kind of gets that. The simplest way to approach the metaverse, in my opinion, is a single statement. It will change how people interact with each other and with the physical world. And if I unpack that just slightly, metaverse is going to be an augmented or a meta layer on top of our reality. Sometimes it will be complete virtual reality. Sometimes it simply will be an extra layer of data that we perceive through wearables like glasses, or even, you know, at the start now, the first few years, it will go a lot through our phone. Think Pokemon Go, where augmented reality gives us extra information about our environment. Not so much in a game form going forward, like in Pokemon Go, but I think it, you know, more in augmented reality version, where in the supermarket, it'll tell you where to find certain goods, or you can try out newest Nike sneakers by just pointing your phone at your feet. And those kind of experiences will be part of a broader metaverse movement, where we move into a world where we have an extra layer of information that allows us to interact differently with each other and differently with physical reality itself, ultimately leading to having an extended reality in a virtual reality, which will allow us to do things like virtual twins, a collaborative dreaming, as I like to call it, where we go into virtual spaces and we can try things out, do new things without the cost and the risk associated with that in the physical world today. Okay, I'm going to stop talking now because it's been a super long answer to your question.
That was a very good explanation, though. So you mentioned a few things there. I like your definition: interoperability, interconnectivity, peer-to-peer, decentralized. Okay, so a lot of building work required in order to get to that state, that end state, the desired location. As you go through the journey, how accessible is the metaverse, in your definition, to companies and individuals so they can get in there, take a look at it, and seek out opportunities to be part of this reality or this virtual reality?
That's another great question. And the answer to that question really depends on the approach you take. Because if you would say, you know, how accessible is the metaverse for companies to start doing something with, and you look at it from a, you know, who's going to build whatever they need for them kind of perspective, then it might be challenging. Because in the Netherlands right now, we're looking at a super tight job market. There's like 133 jobs for every 100 employees. And so finding people that can actually help your company do that for you, build, you know, whatever it is you want to do in the metaverse, that can be a challenge right now. I mean, even we're a metaverse company. Lots of people want to work with us. But even for us, you know, we already see that there's a challenge. Because, for example, in the metaverse, if you want to build three-dimensional experiences, right? Because that is definitely a change from the metaverse going from the former internet, web 2.0 to, you know, web 3.0. It's multidimensional. Building that requires developers that understand spatial computing. So Unreal Engine, Unity, these are kind of softwares, the language, so to speak, if we translate it to Web 2.0 language, that they need to understand. And the demand for Unreal Engine developers has gone up by 900% year over year for the last 4 years already, way before Mark Zuckerberg even announced his Meta thing. So these people are in very high demand. They're not getting educated fast enough because there was no infrastructure to educate them up until very recently. And even right now, it's limited. So that doesn't make it very accessible in the short term. Yep. That's one approach. Another approach you could take is you could say, okay, what can a company do with this? And then again, the question is, what kind of industry are we in? Obviously, right now, it would be easier for a consumer-facing company, for example, you already see this with Adidas and Nike moving into the metaverse space, getting on to that NFT bandwagon, launching initiatives like this. For them, it's rather easy to get on because they already have creative teams. They understand the creative mindset. They already have strong community. They have a strong brand. So if they can just collaborate with, you know, tech agencies, digital agencies that understand this kind of thing, they can move into it relatively easy. Whereas if you're a company like, say, Shell, which also approached us very recently, which is an oil company that is basically B2B and not so much B2C, except for when you go to fuel up your car at the fuel station, you know, for them, it's much harder consideration because how can they use all of this metaverse stuff to connect with the consumer? And the problem there is also that, like you emphasized very correctly at the start, if you go back to 1998, and you'd ask people that at that time, do you have a mobile phone? Do you want one with mobile internet? 9 out of 10 people would tell you, no, I don't want one. I don't care. It's not interesting. I have videos of people literally saying this being interviewed because for the simple fact that they couldn't really see what was coming. And just the same, we can't right now. I mean, I'm talking to you about this right now. I'm in it every single day. And I'm telling you, I have absolutely no clue what's coming in the next few years. Truly, what's truly coming, right? I can give you some ideas. I can do some forecast here and there. I can tell you, for example, that Google is going to come back with Google Glass, but this time not presented as a gadget, but presented on a use case base where, for example, the first one is going to be how it instantly translates a different language in your field of view when you're listening to people. That's already live. But apart from that, the soup that's being created right now, but all of these technologies coming to adolescence like blockchain, VR, AR, 5G, human machine interfacing, and influencing all of them, influencing each other. You know, the results of that are unfathomable for anybody. So 5 years from now, there'll be stuff that I could never have come up with today talking to you.
So the accessibility right now depends on obviously talent, but also maybe it's also the investment that you can put into building or accessing this new initiative. And, you know, from a banking or a fintech point of view, I guess if you look at, you know, I think it's in South Korea, we got Koopman Bank that has entered Decentraland, and we've got JP Morgan in there. I think HSBC is in there as well. And, you know, do you see from a banking and fintech perspective, it's it's something to look at early doors, i.e. be an early adopter and be part of building the ecosystem rather than be a watcher and waiter and later on get involved in building the ecosystem. What is your point of view on that?
Yeah, so if we take the banking approach, I was at a big Dutch bank yesterday, Rabobank, or it was actually the day before yesterday. I spoke there. So if I can give a very concrete tip to anybody watching this, I highly recommend getting the book Guide to the Ecosystem Economy by Rick Vera. It's a Belgian guy. I hope it's in English already. It's a very good book. I highly recommend it. He goes into what's really coming and what that means for us, for our economies, for us as a people. And I totally agree with his vision on that. And he was there as well to speak. And we both spoke about what does this mean for banks, right? First of all, let's take a consideration. I said before that virtual reality is not the metaverse. Augmented reality is not the metaverse, right? The metaverse is not per se the internet as next evolution in that sense. What Rabobank did, for example, they built an app called Data Keeper, right? And Data Keeper basically allows you to use a blockchain to store all your personal information in a way that you're in control. You can decide who you share it with and for how long, so that if you have to identify yourself in any way, instead of giving them your passport to make a photocopy and you have no idea how long they're going to keep it and what they're going to do with it, you can, you know, share it digitally through the blockchain. And after a day, you know, access is revoked and they don't have access anymore, for example. So that's something that the bank did, right? Rabobank powered that. I think that's a great initiative because they're providing a service for their customers, which is really metaverse proof for the future. Because in the future, all this blockchain technology, you know, having a super profile that allows you to go anywhere you want, but still be in control of your own data is something that's going to be essential. And so in essence, they are acting like Sherpas to their customers. And I think that's the role for financial organizations right now, today, moving into this metaverse space. They need to be Sherpas for their customers because this metaverse world, this blockchain world is very complicated. For most consumers, it's still too complicated today to get into. And so they will only mass adopt it in the next few years when it's made simpler for them. And that's a place where, you know, fintech companies can take a role. They can be the ones to figure out how to make it simpler and more accessible for everybody. And by doing that, they can retain their position as, you know, custodials, as Sherpas for consumers. And I think that would be a very good starting point. But that doesn't mean that they'll have to make that journey themselves, figure it out. You know, well, you know, what does this mean for our customer?
Yeah, I like that. And that's the ultimate role of fintechs and banking institutes, right? To be able to, right now anyway, to be able to offer customers, their customers, different types of products that in this instance gives them access to something that is quite difficult to maybe understand. But also outside of that, I mean, all different types of products, right? So we look across different types of fintechs that are out there. You know, what about your subscriptions, crypto, learning, all of this stuff? Yeah, this is what you know, fintech should be doing and banking institutes should be doing. So this is another thing. I like the description, the Sherpa description. Definitely pick up the baggage, go up Everest and take your customer with you, right?
Yep. I think this whole metaverse development, apart from the tech part, it's also very much about breaking down barriers. Yeah. It is a counter movement to the developments that we've seen from the rise of the internet at the end of the 90s over the next two decades to the point that we are at today, right? Yes, general consumers are still on Facebook and they might not be thinking every day about what happened to Cambridge Analytica, but there is a very vocal, very influential group of people, you know, above the great mainstream that are influencing where all of this is going. And they very, very consciously remember what happened over the past two decades when we didn't really know what the internet meant for us and for our data and for our position as consumers and as players and as actors. And now they're saying, look, we want to move away from all the walled gardens. We want to move away from the big companies taking advantage of us as consumers by taking our data and forcing us to make use of their infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And if big tech, if fintech, if, you know, the banking system resists that, they're only going to build more negative sentiment towards themselves. True. The trick is to say, okay, we hear you. We're going to embrace this, and rather than be afraid of what it might mean for disrupting our current business model, we're going to look at how we can move along with this and grow with it. And I think that's absolutely essential. And companies that are going to be able to do that, they're the ones that are going to be able to survive. The companies that are not going to do that, they're going to have a really tough time. I mean, we're already moving into this bear market. Economies, you know, around the world are struggling. We're seeing a lot of signals that stuff is not going in the right direction right now in terms of the financial system. And it's inevitable that this is all going to come down. We're going to move into a period where things are going to be not so nice, if not absolutely horrendous for everybody. And so a lot of companies are going to fail, right? A lot of people are going to have a very hard time. And so the companies that are able to pivot quickest, fastest, and embrace this new technological move are going to be the ones that will be able to flourish and make it through, I think.
Yeah, and in all downturns, we looked at, you saw it in COVID, you saw it in 08. People that are able to, as you say, pivot and move into the new business model, a new economy, will be the ones that thrive. But is the metaverse the opportunity that fintechs should be looking at right now? And what other opportunities, other than being part of that movement and that new digital evolution, does the metaverse bring for fintech leaders and the banking industry, in your opinion?
Well, other opportunities, it's an interesting way of phrasing it, because that would mean that it's going to be an extra opportunity. Whereas I think that this is the only opportunity, yeah. Right?
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
Fintech needs to go with the metaverse for the simple reason that as we add an extra layer on top of reality, as we extend reality into a virtual realm, we will need, for the very minimum, the same kind of infrastructure there that we have in the current world. Meaning that right now, if I go to a Five Guys restaurant, you know, yeah, I can pay with my phone at the counter for my burger and it works pretty frictionless here in the Netherlands. If I go to a digital world to do stuff and to go shopping or, you know, enjoy entertainment, it needs to be at the very, very, very least as frictionless as that experience. But most probably, it will need to be even better because I'm in a virtual world, right? There's no excuse for any of the limitations that you have in a physical world, right? There can be no queue because, you know, there's no reason for a queue in the digital world. There can be no, you know, time before I get access to my whatever it is I ordered. What, you know, I'm talking about hamburgers, not a fintech company, but if I want access to digital products in a digital world, it needs to be basically seamless, instantaneous.
But hamburgers are, you know, you have to pay for hamburgers, right?
Yes.
So, what are the, you know, you're going to have to, you know, tap or swipe or whatever it is. You're going to have to, there has to be frictionless process in order for you to get that hamburger. But also, I mean, talking about taking importing sort of reality into that world, there's a whole bunch of, dare I say it, regulation inside of sort of the financial services world. And how do you
see
that?
This is going to be a major challenge. Yeah. It's going to be a major challenge because, you see, it is acceptable for a consumer to understand that if you move from the Netherlands to Sydney, that there's going to be differences in terms of finance and that there might be different rules and regulations. But if you are in a digital environment where you instantaneously move from one space to another, and this is not just where we're going, this is already the reality in some ways, you don't want to be bothered with any of that. And the real question here is, if I am in a virtual space, you know, what does that mean? Am I subject to regulations from Australia, from the US, from Europe, from Asia? You know, where is this virtual space? It's not anywhere physical. So what determines that? Mm. And how does that impact my experience? And if we look at, you know, the metaverse, which is very closely related in its development to the crypto and the blockchain space and NFTs, the expectations there are everybody wants it to be decentralized, open, you know, accessible. Yeah. There's a really big, it's not appreciated. Regulation in general is not something that people are generally looking for in that space as a consumer. Yeah. As a custodial or as a, you know, as a blockchain companies, crypto companies, for example, say, you know, Binance or Bitonic, they are probably looking for regulation. Simply for the reason that if there's regulation, there's clarity and they know what they can and they cannot do in individual countries. For example, right now in the Netherlands, dealing with Binance is absolute shit. for the fact that the Dutch government hasn't passed proper policy on this, and therefore Binance is just not moving because they're waiting to see, you know, when things will clear up, MiCAR regulation comes through in Europe, and only then will they start providing certain services again, because they don't want to risk anything. They don't want to take any risk. But from a consumer point of view, that's just not acceptable. And it's only going to become less acceptable moving to the metaverse. And so it's a responsibility, at least in my personal opinion, of fintech and the financial industry as a whole to be the first movers there, to be the Sherpas. They need to go out and figure it out. They need to go to governments and they need to say, look, you guys are doing a shit job providing the legislation that we need to provide these services to our consumers, and they're not taking it. And if we don't do something now, we're going to have a real problem on our hands, because they're just going to circumvent it. Because that's the reality, what always happens. People will just circumvent it.
Yeah, agreed.
Sorry, I'm passionate about that.
I hear it. Boom, there we go. I shouldn't have mentioned the R word, but I did. But here we go. As we wrap up this section, we head into the flash round. What are the main thoughts you want to leave with the fintech leaders out there that are tuning in and listening right now with regards to the metaverse and its power going forward?
My number one advice would be, if you have kids, go and ask them what games they play. If they play Roblox or Minecraft, ask them and be authentically interested. What are you doing all day? With whom are you doing it? What is the experience? What is important to you? It might seem silly, but this is a generation growing up that will be your consumer in a few years. And the generation even before your kids already has that kind of expectation. So if you want to be ready for those are the people to talk to, literally, right? And then second, take it one step at a time. Right. Nobody's expecting you to build a whole virtual metaverse world for your consumers today. But what we do expect you is to make sure that you're ready for it and that you at least embrace it. Like, I have a bank here in the Netherlands, Knap. I joined them in 2016 because we're one of the first online banks in the Netherlands. And they haven't done a single goddamn thing, sorry for the word, thing to upgrade their services ever since. And it's just unacceptable. I left. I joined Revolut because Revolut is the kind of bank that thinks with me, right? I can buy crypto with Revolut. It's expensive and it's not actually my own wallet. So there's still some things there I could say that I'm not happy with. Yeah. But generally speaking, they provide the kind of services that I need, right? So that's my advice. Talk to the people that are actually going to be your customer, what their expectations are, what they're thinking about, and do something with it.
I like it. Get it done. Okay, so now we go into the flash round. Everyone knows a flash round is a bit of fun at the end, a bit of personality. We get to know our guest, and then the guest, Arrigan, turn the mic over to you, and you ask me a question. So I'll ask you three questions. You ask me one, and you do a drum roll. Here we go. Let's go. Okay, so first question, simple questions, yes or no answers. Virtual reality or the real world, which is better?
Yes or no? There's no yes or no answer to that.
Well, there we go.
If I had to make a choice for life or death, I would choose virtual reality.
There we go.
Okay. Then I can live forever.
Brilliant. And we do want. So we do want you living forever, right? You have to take us to the land of Mordor. Is it Mordor? There we go.
That's like hell on earth, but okay.
The metaverse or the internet?
Oh, metaverse. Absolutely. Yep. It's going to solve so many of our problems. Like, I haven't gone into this yet, but for example, the problem with social media is that because it's all text-based and there's no real consequences to your actions, people have become very toxic. But in the metaverse, we'll be able to re-enable our oldest instincts and the oldest psychological things that, you know, we've developed over millions of years of evolution in terms of social connectivity. We will be able to see each other's facial expressions. Yep. We will feel like we're actually in each other's presence, and that will have an impact on how we treat each other. So I think that the metaverse will bring back the social aspect that social media got rid of in terms of our internet connectivity.
No, I like it. And lastly, you spoke about crypto earlier. So what is it? Crypto or fiat for you?
Sorry?
Crypto or fiat?
So crypto, 100%. Oh, that's not even a question. Oh, no, absolutely not. Crypto, yes.
Like it.
I invest a big part of my monthly income straight into crypto. I absolutely believe that's the future. I'm not saying I'm buying, you know, Doge or Shiba, but yes, Bitcoin, Ethereum right now, I think that's a very safe investment for the future, because I think that in 10 or 15 years from now, it's very possible that there might be whole parts of the world where they're not even using dollars or euros anymore, and you just think in Bitcoin. So,
yeah, go with flow, right? Definitely. So now I hand over the mic to you, my friend, and you're allowed to ask me one question.
All right, Richard.
Here it is. Yeah.
So what do you think now when you hear me talking about all of this? Do you think it's real or science fiction?
So, I mean, good question, right? So it's definitely not science fiction. I've also jumped into this when we met a few weeks ago. I was like, let me do my research. So I started doing my research, right? And there is a movement, and there's definitely a big, for me, there seems to be a big opportunity for forward thinkers, people that want to take up, want to be the forefront of, you know, a new world, the new economy, just like there was social, just like there was the internet, just like, you know, there was back a few years ago, crypto. This is the next thing. It's a question of you should get involved right now rather than wait. The big thing is, you know, get involved right now and do your research and figure out as a company, in my point of view, is how you can leverage this, especially going forward with all the things that we mentioned, i.e. downturns, etc., coming up. This seems like the next evolution, right? So definitely not science fiction. It's something that is here, I believe, right now. It's here to stay. And it's quite exciting, in all honesty, because new things are exciting because we're building it. Yeah. And I'm a builder and I like building things. And this seems to be one of those things that you can take up.
Thank you.
There we go. So you got a long response there.
Love it.
There we go. Boom.
Love it.
Okay. So at the end of the show, I always ask guests to, how can other people listening to the show get in touch with you, follow you, maybe learn a bit more about what you guys are up to? What's the best route?
Yeah. So we're building a layer one metaverse platform, as we call it, basically like the YouTube for the metaverse experiences in the future. You can find everything you need to know about that on our website, which is yom.community. So that's yom.community. We have a white paper there for anybody interested in what the metaverse is going to bring us. I also highly recommend you to read the white paper because it doesn't just talk about our platform. It talks about the future that we're heading into and what it means for the relationship between brands, creators, and their communities and audiences. You can find me on LinkedIn. My name is Aragorn Molendijks. So linkedin.com/in/AragornMolendijks or at Twitter, you can find me at, what's my handle? I think it's at Mr. Metaverse with a 4 for an A. That's really not easy to spell. But if you look for Aragorn or Mr. Metaverse, you'll find me for sure.
Brilliant. And if folks don't worry about scribbling that information down, that will be on the show notes so you can copy and paste it and get in touch with Aragorn if you want to. And listen, really great show. Really enjoyed jumping into the metaverse and looking forward to your success. And also, obviously, catching up hopefully in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard. Can I do one more? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I almost forgot.
Yeah,
every Wednesday, we have Metaverse Exploring Group where we, in virtual reality, we have keynotes from entrepreneurs and founders and techies from around the world on the metaverse. You can find us on LinkedIn. And every Friday, we do State of the Metaverse, a show, which is also a podcast on Spotify and iTunes, where I talk to people from around the metaverse industry from around the world about the new latest developments, the news updates, and of course, where we're all headed together. So that's also
awesome.
One that I highly recommend.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll include that information again in the show notes, everyone. So no need to scribble it all down. And again, thanks for coming on the show. It's been brilliant to jump into your world and get the insights of the metaverse. And looking forward, as I say, to your continued success.
Thanks, Richard. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.